Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk again about the Kingdom of God. We've been using a speech given by Mr. Ron Paul, who has left the political arena, and his goodbye speech was very interesting from the point of view of history and from the point of view of biblical principles, that he was probably the only real Christian or close to being a real Christian that you could find as a candidate in our modern times. That's because most Christians are deeply steeped in apostasy, and they are in bad need of the gospel of the kingdom. It is an actual alternative system by which people will govern themselves. It leads to liberty, as it leads people to take back the responsibilities that God has placed upon us of loving our neighbor as ourselves. A lot of people think that they can love their neighbor because they have good feelings about them when they sit in their pews at church singing songs, but that's really not what love is all about. Love is an action word, and it leads to prosperity. It leads to fruits that produce a strong and viable society, a free people that are virtuous in every aspect of their life. That's not what we have in the world today. We have a very unvirtuous society. Of course, it looks at itself and believes that it's pretty good because it doesn't know what real virtue is. It does not understand some of the basic principles of virtue and righteousness and morality. And it puts on a good face because it runs on pride, and it must be proud of the face that it puts on. So therefore, it creates a morality, it creates religions, it creates philosophies, it creates a concept of right and wrong based on its own knowledge and not upon the true knowledge of what is righteous and unrighteous. We have a great deal of libertarians in the world today that are talking about the fact that we should not be forcing one another to do things to provide for each other, that we should be doing these voluntarily. And they call themselves libertarians. The reality is the early Christians were the ultimate in libertarian. Unfortunately, we don't know what they were really doing because that's not what's being taught to us in our Bible schools and in our seminaries. And so libertarians have become atheists, believing that the superstitious approach to God and creation is such a failure. It has delivered us into such bondage that it must be all wrong. And of course, it's not all wrong. It's actually very right. I recently read a essay, I guess it would be called, by a famous libertarian, Stefan. I can't remember his last name right offhand. I'll get it later. Sorry, I'm very bad at names. But anyway, he's quite an atheist and wrote something against the gods, the belief in God. And he even goes into the argument of string theory and other concepts and says, oh, you can't rely on that for proof of God, even though that's actually what is taking place today in modern science, is that they are proving the existence of heaven and hell and God through, and even evil, through their mathematical equations that are coming up with an explanation of the universe in which we live. They don't want to refer to it as heaven and hell. They don't want to refer to it as God and as a central creator, a divine essence that has this personality, this character, because so many of modern science today are atheists and they live in a hierarchy of their own. They have created a religion of their own out of their science, then they believe in their evolution theories and other theories of creation, their Big Bang theories. And the problem is that the mathematicians are coming up with a vision of creation that fits more into the biblical creation than it does into what these modern atheists want to believe is so. And it's because they have faith in their knowledge of what is right and what is wrong. And of course, that leads them to destruction eventually. And that's what we see. I also listened to another scientist and author and producer of a magazine. I won't give him any plugs, but he was rolling out all these statistics trying to show that everything is getting better. It's getting better because, you know, these crimes are down and these crimes are down and these things are, you know, there's more liberty and there's more buying power and all this stuff. And of course, it's all manipulated statistics. If you went and looked at other statistics about disease being rampant, inflation being rampant, and he always says, oh, we'll solve all these problems eventually. Well, we will eventually solve these problems when we return to the ways of Christ. But until we do that, we are going to continue to compound those problems. Now, let's go back to that speech of Ron Paul. We've already had a number of shows on that. There must be at least 4 hours in our archives on the subject. And let's focus on that. In the last recording that I made for the show, we talked about inflation, about the fact that at the time of Jesus Christ, a sack of wheat called a modius of wheat only cost 6 denarii. And that would be about 6 dimes. And you could buy this 30-pound sack of grain. By the time of Diocletian, it had reached peaks of 120,000 denarii for the same sack. Now, I mentioned that in passing, but I never got around to telling you why. I was showing the parallels from that time to our time today. But I never told you really why in that particular talk. Although I've mentioned it many times before in the past. Well, the reason why is they had taken the silver out of the gold and silver coins. And I lay that as a foundation so that when we get to the questions asked by Mr. Paul, that you will have a foundation to understand what's going on. And there's many layers to this. So the inflation was not just caused by that. The Roman bankruptcy and inflation that was taking place was also because they had put in a social welfare program that was bankrupting the nation. Huge volumes of giveaway grain and bread, free bread and circuses were being provided for the people to keep them placated and entertained. I mean, they didn't have fluoride yet, so they had to do something to keep the people placated and entertained and complacent. And welfare was the way to do this. And Rome had an extensive system of welfare. Herod had done the same thing, had built up a system of welfare. You could enter that system by getting baptized, by being registered. If you were not registered, you were referred to as idiotus, unregistered. But the Christians would not register, and so therefore they were called idiotus. And if you want to understand more about that, go to our website at hisholychurch.org and look up on the outline page of all the articles, or just do a word search in the little Google search engine up in the corner for "Are Christians idiots?" Because we, you know, it's like many of my articles, I'm kind of playing with words here, but find out why Christians were called ignorant and idiots and idiotus, and really what that was all about. And if you don't understand the context of history, when you read the Bible, you can be misled. And there has been a lot of that misleading going on. So Rome was being bankrupt because they took the silver out of the Roman denarii. They started this with Nero. That's how quickly after Christ they had begun this process. They actually, you can even go back a little bit farther, because you can find that Mark Antony and Cleopatra took about 10% of the silver out of the Roman silver coin that they were minting to pay their military. But it was really Nero who got the ball rolling with about 40% of the silver removed. And actually, one of the places that knew how to do that, how to water down the coins was the temple at Ephesus. Why the temple at Ephesus? Because it was the World Bank of its day. It was the underwriter of these social welfare systems throughout the Roman Empire. Over 127 different nations had joined that temple at Ephesus in order to obtain those international benefits. And the Christians were accused of robbing the temple at Ephesus. What was going on? Why was this taking place? I also mentioned the temple of Saturn. That's where you deposited your birth registration. You had to get a birth certificate to register your child in order to obtain these benefits. So you went to the temple of Saturn, which was its Bureau of Vital Statistics. Of course, the Christians didn't go to the temple of Saturn. They didn't go to the Parthenos. They didn't go to these temples because they had a living temple, which was a network of Christians all across the Roman Empire and even beyond that cared as much about their fellow Christians as they did themselves. They actually even cared about the strangers in their midst, or the strangers they were in the midst of, and would help others out like good Samaritans. And this gave them a nobility that allowed them to not only survive, but to thrive during the decline and fall of the Roman Empire. Unfortunately, today, Christians are not doing any of those things to any extent that you see back then. Now, let's go back to some of these parallels that I mentioned in the previous shows. This morphing of the Libera Res Publica, the free from things public, the Republic of Rome as it was in the beginning, and how it slowly evolved into a social democracy and then rapidly into a dictatorship, a totalitarian dictatorship that actually murdered people by the tens of thousands and drained them of their economy and of their life. This is the way we go when we open the door to social democracies, where we think that it's okay to take away from our neighbor to provide ourselves with food benefits, or with benefits of any kind. Since January of about 2009, the number of individuals on food stamps has skyrocketed from 31.9 million to the current record of over 47 million Americans on food stamps. That's unbelievable. Think of a breadline, 47 million people long. Huge, huge, tremendous photo opportunity, but you don't get to see it because there is no food line that you get to see because they're all walking around with EBT cards. Who makes the EBT cards? Who provides that system? JP Morgan is the administrator of the Electronic Benefit Transfer, EBT, and that's how they get their free bread in from Rome today. And it's growing. And it's only a short step from an electronic benefit transfer card to that card becoming your food ration card. Without that card, bread could be $100 a loaf at the present rate of growing inflation. And that's exactly where we're going. The state EBT contracts have totaled over, I don't know if I can even, $560,492,000. And actually, I can give you down to 2 cents. But the point is it's growing rapidly. They originally called it the Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program, or SNAP. It costs over $72 billion, more than double the $30 billion spent 4 years ago. That's huge, huge change. And the trend that has brought us to this point is not turning around. So those numbers will just continue to skyrocket. They are not going to change, and there's really nothing going on in our modern economy to change it. And this is where we get to these questions asked by Mr. Paul and put into his speech, his farewell speech to Congress. And he says, excessive government has created such a mess, it prompts many questions. And here's the first one he puts. Why are sick people who use medical marijuana put in prison? Now, if you just mention medical marijuana, people think, oh, they're just a bunch of dope smokers. The fact is, you can see extreme change from people who have Parkinson's shaking uncontrollably, smoking just a small amount of marijuana, or taking a small amount of the oils from marijuana, which is what you're actually doing when you smoke the marijuana. And suddenly their shaking stops and they are able to function and walk. It's temporary relief, but if you are shaking constantly and unable to even function without assistance, a few minutes of relief is a godsend. And so, yes, now I agree that many people that want to take medical marijuana just simply want to smoke dope. I know them. Some of them are lazy. Some of them shouldn't be allowed to have that marijuana. But you just have to work that out. Why are you depriving other people that would actually show a benefit? There is huge evidence that the use of the oils from the marijuana plant, from certain species of the marijuana plant, have a tremendous healing effect on people with cataracts, with cancer. And more, all that plant was being used in experiments to cure cancer back in the 20s when they outlawed it. And so the idea that legalizing marijuana would save us millions and millions and millions of dollars in law enforcement, it would release people from prison. Yes, legalizing it to some degree would also allow it to be used improperly. But the fact is, when you had prohibition of alcohol, alcoholism grew in America. That's the way it is, especially in America, because Americans resist control. There is an element of Americans that resist control. And if you say, I can't do it, they'll want to do it. And the mafia grew during prohibition. The same thing is going on. Your drug cartels are growing because of the fact that you've outlawed marijuana. Now, personally, I've never smoked marijuana. I've never inhaled it. I don't have any interest in it. But I have seen its medicinal effects can be very valuable, but they have it outlawed. Now, we're going to carry this on a little bit farther in his questions. But then his next question was, why does the federal government restrict the drinking of raw milk? Now, I have a granddaughter who drinks raw milk because we have a dairy cow right outside the door. Now, everybody can't have a dairy cow right outside the door, but I can tell you her skin problems, literally rashes and eruptions take place if she doesn't get that raw milk. If she gets the raw milk, it goes away. She is very sensitive and has, you know, eczema and psoriasis, and if she gets the raw milk, it clears up. If she doesn't get the raw milk, it comes back. And that's peculiar to her. But it would be immoral not to let her have raw milk. Fortunately, like I said, we can have a dairy cow right outside our door, and we can go get the raw milk ourselves. But many other people across the country are absolutely forbidden from having raw milk. People are thrown into jail. People are fined. People are abused unbelievably because of a totalitarian attitude that raw milk somehow is a bad thing. That if you drink homogenized, pasteurized milk, you won't get sick. But if you drink raw milk, you will. Did you understand that smallpox, the reason they discovered that smallpox could be cured or prevented by a vaccine, not cured, prevented by a vaccine, was because someone noticed that all the milkmaids who were out there milking cows by hand did not get smallpox. Why? Because their symbiotic relationship with that bovine gave them a natural immunity to smallpox. Isn't that amazing? And what they did, instead of everybody having a dairy cow where they milk that cow and develop that natural immunity, they started inventing vaccines. What you should have brought to the Indians instead of vaccines was dairy cows. Bring them dairy cows. Now, I'm not a big advocate in constantly drinking lots and lots of milk, but for people who have allergy problems, for people who have things like eczema, raw milk can be the answer that homogenized and pasteurized milk cannot be. As a matter of fact, homogenized milk can actually cause allergy problems. And yeah, if I had a multi-million-dollar industry, whole milk or the homogenized processed milk industry backing me, I could go out there and try to convince everybody that raw milk is bad. But the raw milk industry doesn't have those kinds of funds. But you are given a brain. You are given responsibility to find out what the answer is. And the government is going to tell you what's right and wrong. They're actually forbidding you. Now, they should. I don't have any problem with the government warning about problems with raw milk. And why do they have the power to do this? Now, we say, oh, they should stop that. They shouldn't do this. But the reality is, if you get sick because you drink contaminated raw milk, now, you can drink contaminated homogenized milk, too. But if you get sick drinking that raw milk, you're going to run to the government for benefits, medical benefits to take care of you. If you get sick from all kinds of things, you do that. They actually have passed laws now that if you get sick from vaccines, they don't have to pay. Well, the government may pay, but the companies who produce the vaccines, they don't have to pay. They can't be sued. But that's another story. But it's related to some degree. The reality is, this control that they have is because you have gone to them and applied for benefits. The reason you have to wear a safety belt in your car is because if you have an accident, you probably are going to be eligible for government medical benefits. You're a human resource. They don't want to see you get hurt because it's going to cost them, not because they love you, because it's going to cost them. And besides that, they can make lots of money giving you tickets if you don't wear a seatbelt. I mean, millions and millions of dollars have been collected in tickets because people didn't buckle up. So people buckle up not so much to save themselves, but to save themselves the cost of a ticket. So, and unfortunately, that's the way the slothful are. They don't live by common sense. They don't live by wisdom. They don't live by the leading of the Holy Spirit. They live by what they're told, and they need to be told because they're irresponsible, because they have neglected their responsibilities. But for those of you who want to take back your responsibilities, you should have a right to drink raw milk and not be arrested. Why can't Americans manufacture rope and other products from hemp? Now, this is his question, and you can tell by the inflection that I'm reading these questions right off of his speech. But what is hemp? Now, we talk about marijuana, but hemp is the actual plant, and there are several different species of that, and some of them, it doesn't do you any good to smoke because it doesn't have the chemicals that you're looking for, whether it's for a medicinal improvement of your health or whether it's you just want to get high. It doesn't work if you smoke rope, but they're both hemp. And they also produce canvases and other materials and building materials, and it's just a wonderful plant. George Washington grew it. He said that it was essential that every farm should be growing it. You can literally grow your firewood out of hemp. It is a tremendously valuable plant that was given to us by God. But you can't grow the rope hemp either. Now, why do they stop you from growing the rope hemp when you can't smoke it? Why did they make that illegal? They are distinguishable plants. Well, I'm going to tell you why when we get back to Keys to the Kingdom, but I'll keep you wondering. Why wouldn't they let you grow that hemp? Why, if you grew that rope hemp in Humboldt County, you would be tarred and feathered? And I'll tell you on Keys to the Kingdom when we return in just a moment.
My name is Mark and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realized that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, "God bless America," and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me. And many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. We're sending out a newsletter today on the Kingdom News List. We also sent out a newsletter to the Dear Network. And what is the Dear Network? It is actually the Living Network, but almost everybody on the Dear Network will get this email because we're sending out to every one of them. And it has to do with why you want to form congregations of record. And during the Sandy storm that happened a while ago, we had people go out and try to help other people. And we've done this during other hurricanes, and we will probably do during earthquakes and what have you. And that's great. But in order to do it efficiently, we have to know who is a part of the network, because those are the ones that we need to help first. And then we will help the strangers in our midst and other people. And this is what the early church was doing as their society began to break down. Their Roman society was faltering and collapsing because of inflation, because of corruption in the government, because of totalitarian measures. They had price controls that ended up including the death penalty. If you got caught raising prices beyond what they said you should charge, you could actually be executed in Rome. Those kinds of things will happen again because history does repeat itself. The Christians thrived through this period even though they were persecuted. And they were a separate people. They were a holy people. That's what holy means, separate. They were operating and governing themselves. These are the ones that said there is another king, one Jesus, and they were doing contrary to the decrees of Caesar. They weren't disobeying them. They didn't have to obey them because they had a separate system based on the perfect law of liberty, which included faith, hope, and charity. In other words, you gave in order to help others out. You cast your bread upon the waters in the hope that they would be there for you. Not entitlements, but hope. This creates trust. This creates honor. This creates virtue in a society. It strengthens the virtue that may already be there. And this is why the Christians were organized in this fashion. And to tell you the truth, it's why Israel was organized in this fashion. So whether you're a Jew or a Hindu or a Muslim by birth, you need to take another look at what Christ was actually saying and preaching and start following in his ways so that ye might be saved. So anyway, why would they tar and feather you in Humboldt County if you started growing hemp, the rope, the hemp that you cannot smoke? Why would they be upset? Because when the hemp plant that you make the rope and the canvas and the clothes from crosses with the other one becomes ineffectual. And they grow hemp all over Humboldt County. It's one of the big producers of marijuana in California. And, you know, you can walk down the road and find somebody who will sell it to you. I've never bought it. I've never smoked it. But the reality is I know that's going on. I'm not stupid. But the fact is that if you were started to grow hemp, if they legalize you to grow hemp for rope, not for smoking because you can't smoke it, doesn't do you any good, they would be absolutely outraged. They would, because if that pollen gets in and crosses with their plant, they're in trouble. And so that's why they had to, in order to create this prison industry and this control police state, you had to outlaw them both so that somebody would illegally grow the other, create a black market, and from that you would gain this powerful control over society because you have this huge military force out there supposedly protecting you from marijuana, which you could actually be using to improve your health in some unique situations. Government should not be in that kind of regulatory business. It could be a bully pulpit where you could say, look, there's some disadvantages. Don't do this. Don't do that. These are better. These are better. They could even, if they want, they could even tax the manufacturer of the stuff and use it as a revenue. That would be better than what they presently have, although I'm not promoting that. But the reality is, this is why Mr. Paul is asking these questions, because it's destroying America. It's dividing America. And it's not doing it for any rational or reasonable purpose, because you'd be better off if they legalized it. And look at countries like Holland. And, you know, over there, we have friends that over there where it's legal, and if nobody's going around hardly even smoking it, and you can buy it anywhere. The only ones who really buy it are the foreigners who come in from other countries. They come there to smoke marijuana. The general population, they don't have any interest in it. But if you have Alzheimer's, or not really Alzheimer's, but Parkinson's, and you smoke it, you can get relief from the shaking, tremors. And if you have other problems, you can get relief from the oils because it's legal there and it's getting legal in other. Now, an interesting thing is, although they're legalizing it, the medical marijuana in several states, I think Washington, what was it, Colorado, I think, recently did it. I think Connecticut has recently done it. The reality is that the UN is now issuing warnings that they have made it illegal, which I don't know what they've done with poor Denmark. But anyway, so that's all interesting. But the next question, let's move on to the next question. Why are Americans not allowed to use gold and silver as legal tender as mandated by the Constitution? Well, that could take 4 or 5 programs. If you go and listen to our program on law versus legal and employee versus enslave and conversion versus reconversion and money versus mammon, you would get more and more of an understanding. And these are all chapters of the books, Covenants of the Gods. But the reality is gold and silver is dirt. That's what gold and silver is. It's just dirt. It's just a piece of the earth. It's a piece of the rock. And it's very portable and it's highly concentrated dirt and it has an intrinsic value. And so it's been used as an exchange substance for monetary purposes for centuries. And as I showed you, that when they took the silver out of the Roman silver denarii and made it out of iron, it became worthless and it couldn't buy anything because it had no intrinsic value. It was only worth the iron that was in it. And today, your dollars are only worth the paper they're printed on. And so, even if you go to the Federal Reserve website, they will tell you that Federal Reserve notes have no value. They have no value. Now, they had a value once as something that was redeemable, but that's all gone away since about 1977. Before that, it went away for American citizens, U.S. citizens. I should say U.S. citizens, not Americans. But for U.S. citizens, the value of the Federal Reserve note went away because they could no longer redeem them in gold and silver. As a matter of fact, they couldn't even own gold and silver, according to H.J.R. 192. Now, H.J.R. 192 has been repealed, but you still can't have a lawful title to gold. And again, if you want a fuller explanation, you got to go read Law versus Legal or listen to the audios on that. But a legal title is only an apparent title. It carries with it no beneficial interest. The beneficial interest is the actual ownership of the property itself. You pay $400,000 for a legal title to a piece of property. You do not own the property. You own the legal title, and that does not include the beneficial interest. If you want the beneficial interest, you must pay the use tax, the property tax. You don't pay the use tax for a couple of years. They take the whole property away from you. They sell it, and they keep the money in many states. Some states will refund what's left over, which is usually not very much. But the point is, you don't own it. You're not the actual title holder of the property. You're only the title holder of the legal title, which doesn't include the beneficial interest or use of that property. Again, gold and silver is dirt. You can have gold coins, you can have silver coins now because they have repealed HJR 192, but you only have legal title to them. They can take it away anytime they want. They can tax the fact that you have them. It's just easier to tax property tax rather than, you know, if you have gold coins hidden out in a coffee can somewhere, they can't tax that. But they could tax the use of it so that when you go to try to trade it in, they could tax that. The only reason they're not doing that is the very wealthy people who are in control of your government and manipulating things behind the scenes, they use gold and silver and they don't want anybody messing with their gold and silver. But anyway, so that's why you can't actually use it as legal tender because you don't actually own it. You can't pay a debt with a note. This all has to do with the Federal Reserve System. This has to do with just weights and measures that are in the Bible. You should have just weights and measures. Instead, you're buying everything with paper that has no value according to the people who have issued it into circulation. Even Rome hadn't gotten that bad at the time of Christ. You've gone way beyond. It's worse with you than it was with Rome, which we quoted in the last show. But anyway, here's another question that Paul puts out. Why is Germany concerned enough to consider repatriating their gold held by the Fed for her in New York? Is it that the trust in the U.S. and the dollar supremacy beginning to wane? Well, certainly it is. They don't want to let that on. China is worried about that. They're dumping U.S. dollars as fast as they can without collapsing the dollar. And that happens to be sustaining the economy in the United States because they're buying everything from boards to bullets to what have you from American commerce because they don't want to get stuck with all those U.S. dollars they got by selling us all that junk at Walmart. So anyway, they know that it has a limited life expectancy and the U.S. dollar will eventually collapse. And that's inevitable. There's really nothing you can do about it. You could slow it down. You could speed it up. They seem to be wanting to almost speed it up or at least postponing it long enough so that the bigger you are, the harder you fall. But the reality is what you should be doing is seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness because things are going to shift tremendously someday. I don't want you to do it out of fear. I want you to do it out of love for one another. Okay, another question. Why do our political leaders believe it's necessary to thoroughly audit our own gold? Actually, I didn't know our political leaders... I read that wrong. Let me read that again. It didn't make sense when I read it. Why do our political leaders believe it's unnecessary to thoroughly audit our own gold? Because they know what the outcome is. They know what the outcome of that audit would be. It's terrible. We're in a lot of trouble. We are the most bankrupt nation in the history of the world. And we are going to come down very hard. And Christians should thrive and survive during that period if they were actually being Christians. And they're not. And we need to repent and we need to turn around and do what the early church was doing. Because you're not doing that in your churches, which I won't get into that right now. We'll keep going through these questions. But I can tell you right now, the modern American church, the modern churches of the world in Australia and England and where have you, need to repent. They need to start preaching the whole gospel of the kingdom. They need to start practicing pure religion. If you don't know what I mean by that, go to our website and look up the words pure religion and read the article there. You may be shocked. Why can't Americans decide which type of light bulb they can buy? Now they're talking about these fluorescent lights that you're now supposed to buy and you can't have these other light bulbs and all this kind of stuff. This all has to do with money. This is all money driven. As I said in the last show, why did we go into Vietnam? I was around in the days of Vietnam. I was drafted back then. Thought, need to serve my country, and I was still trying to figure out how everything works. A few years later, I was sitting with the head of the Democratic Party in Wisconsin, and he said, he was actually at the meeting with Eisenhower when they decided... Eisenhower said they decided to have a series of brush wars in Southeast Asia, Vietnam, a series of wars. They decided to have a series of wars, not to defend democracy, not to make the world safe from communism, but to have a series of wars for the purposes of stimulating the coal and steel industry because they needed stimulating. They needed to have their industry stimulated to make more money, to create more tax revenue. And with that, the industrial war complex also was going to be stimulated. He happened to be, that particular individual was in the mining of iron ore industry, and that's why he was at that meeting. But the reality is that's why you had Vietnam. So why did you have the Iraqi war? Why did you have the Afghani war? To make the world safe for democracy? Why did they invade Libya? Gaddafi was in favor of democracy. It was one of the most democratic countries in, except for his office, it was the most democratic country in Africa. He read his green book. He's all for democracy. And he had raised the standard of living for the average citizen far beyond any other nation in Africa, probably far beyond any other country in Europe, as far as actual raising from one point to the next point, the standard of living for the people, the amount of education that they had. And I'm not saying he was a great guy, but the idea that by getting rid of him, they were going to get democracy, forget it. And besides, do you really want democracy? That's another question. But you can go look up some of our articles on democracy on the website as well, because you can't hardly find anybody in American history that was pro-democracy. Hardly any of them. Karl Marx was for it because he knew it led to socialism, and socialism leads to communism. And we know that communism leads to Holocaust. And that's what you're going to get. I mean, Hitler was a social democrat. He was all for social democracy. Okay, next question. Why is the TSA permitted to abuse the rights of any American traveling by air? Well, the reason why is Americans are slothful, weak, selfish, unchristian people as a whole. I'm speaking in generalities, and I know that's a mean, cruel thing to say, but the truth is sometimes mean and cruel. As many as I love, I also rebuke. You need to know that. The reason the TSA is, if you wanted to make the airlines safe from hijackers, what you should do is hand out a box cutter to everybody who gets on the plane. That's right. Give them a razor sharp box cutter to everybody who's, say, 18 years of age and older who gets on the plane. And there's not going to be any hijackers hijacking that plane, because they're going to be sliced and diced before they get to the cockpit. And that's the way it is. That's what would make us safe. But no, they got the TSA that's going to make us safe. Now, yeah, you could still get a bomb on. The fact is, you could still get a bomb on today. They all this money and all this energy they're spending, they're really not stopping anything. It's about control. It's about getting you used to doing what you're told. And that's what it's really about. Now, you can say, oh, well, that's just conspiracy theory. But that's really what it's about. There is a spirit of control in this country. And it's coming in through the door of progressivism, where people want to control their neighbor. They want to force their neighbor to contribute to their welfare. That is not just entering in the last few years. That came about and started growing with the implementation of public schools back in the 1850s. The idea that I should have to pay for your child's education, and if I don't, you'll take my house away from me, is not a Christian concept. It's anti-Christ. It is not the perfect law of liberty. It is insidious, evil idea that you have become comfortable with and you should be ashamed of. So you need to go back to homeschools, which in one of the last shows we talked about, Mr. Paul says that public schools are going to be key to returning to a free nation. And those that do not want to return to a free nation know that. Did I say public schools? Homeschools. Homeschool. I have to go back and listen to that. Did I say public school? Homeschools is a key to developing a free nation. Public schools is the key to developing a socialist nation, because public schools is a socialist program. So you have to repent of that and go back the other way. And you can't really do that in a lot of situations unless you congregate together. Because if you congregate together, you can help one another make that happen. And you can create a, you know, one of the things in ancient times, the Greeks were all starting these city-states, and they were starting them a number of different ways. And one of them was kind of democratic, like Athens. And they were trying to get other people to build these walled cities like they did. And with that walled city also came a measure of control over the lives of those who were within that wall. And they brought it to one group of Greeks who were very active during the Peloponnesian Wars, but they offered to even loan them the money so that they could build a wall around their city to make their city more secure. And they said no, they weren't going to do it. And they tried to convince them, and they said no. It says, but you need a wall around your city to protect it. And their response was, we are our wall. They were bound together. And the reality is, after the Peloponnesian Wars, they were still around. And the wall that was around Athens led to its almost total destruction because of the terrible famine that took place while they were hiding, cowering behind their walls. They would have been better off to form a network of Greeks that came to each other's aid and become a wall of righteousness. And that's what we need to do, because that's not what we are today. We are a wall of selfishness, and that selfishness binds us in. He asks another question. Why should there be mandatory sentences, even up to life, for crimes without victims, as our drug laws require? You see, we haven't been doing what Christ said. This is why this comes about in our midst. We've been singing in our churches and not doing what Christ said. And Christ said what? It is better that you have attended to the weightier matters than do all your singing and arm-waving in church. You haven't been tending to the weightier matters. And those weightier matters, and you hear me say it all the time, but you hear me say it all the time because your preachers aren't saying it, so I have to say it twice, 10 times, 100 times, 1,000 times, and I don't mind saying it. You should be attending to law, judgment, mercy, and faith. It is not merciful to put man in jail for life. I actually heard just the other day, we had some people visiting a prison back in the Midwest, almost in the East, in Pennsylvania area anyway. And there was a young person that had been put into jail there. He was now, I think, 89 years old or 98 years old, 89 years old. He eventually received a pardon. He'd been put in when he was 15. He'd received a reprieve or pardon so that he could leave. He didn't want to go. He'd been in jail all his life. He didn't want to go. This is the only place he was comfortable. And that's what's happened to you. You're in jail right now. You're in a prison of ideas, a prison of thought. And you can't get out because you want to believe you're okay. You want to believe that you're righteous. You want to believe that your government is the best government in the world. And I don't care where you live. I'm not talking about the United States alone. Every single country has gone the socialist way to one degree or another. And it's leading to destruction across the world of society itself that is already destroyed. It just hasn't hit the sidewalk yet. It is already divided. It is not bound together by love. It's bound together by love of benefits. That is the way of Esau. That is the way of Edom. That is the way of the Nicolaitan. And you need to repent of that. You need to turn around. You need to go the other way. So join us at His Holy Church. Join the Living Network. Form congregations of record. And start actually learning what it means to care about others as much as you care about yourself. Till we return, may peace be upon your house. And may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.